Our text for this evening's meditation is from Mark chapter 14. These words, and Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, these words of Jesus to Peter, they are not unfamiliar to us. We have heard them every Lenten season, every Holy Week, every Good Friday throughout our entire lives. Every year, we have heard Peter at one moment vowing with all seriousness and intent to Jesus, "If I must die, if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And sure enough, every year we hear once again how before the cock crowed twice, announcing the beginning of the next day, Peter had indeed disowned Jesus three times. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing such bits of wisdom, perhaps somewhat based on this incident, or at least reaffirmed by it. I grew up hearing things such as, "Always keep your promises," or, "A man's word is his bond," or, most clearly, "Don't say you're going to do something unless you plan on doing it." And sure, these sayings were put to the test when we first started to work, weren't they? To work for a paycheck. Or when we then acquired our first paycheck. Or we applied for an auto loan. Or did we truly intend to abide by the contracts that we agreed to in those situations? What had we said? And what were we going to do? Wasn't as easy as it appeared to be, was it? Now, college introduced us to the idea of agreeing to do certain things on a syllabus in order to get a certain grade. And when we later on in the semester wanted the grade but didn't want to do what we had agreed to do on the syllabus for the grade, then what? Other examples could be given, but I would venture to guess that as we got older, we were less likely to commit ourselves too quickly to anything. And certainly not rash enough to make the claim of Peter that we would never do something, for we don't know. We don't know, if we're honest with ourselves, what we'll do. For what we do know, ultimately, is that indeed, we're just like Peter. Wishing so often to do one thing and committing ourselves to doing it, only to find out that circumstances work against such commitments. The solution? Well, it's obvious. Avoid commitment. Just avoid it. At least that's what it seems like the solution should be. Instead of swearing we'll never fall away, risking death before denying our Savior as we do at our confirmation, we just don't get confirmed and yet remain somewhat interested in Jesus. Instead of committing ourselves to another person until death parts us, we just don't get married. We live with one person, and then we live with another, and then another, because who knows if it'll work out. Of course, a simple matter is that if we never try because we fear we will fail, we then never succeed. Yes, we think we take the safe approach of non-commitment, but when we do, especially when it comes to Christ, our Lord and Savior, we can be so much like those Laodicean Christians we read about in Revelation. "I know your works," we read there about the Christians in Laodicea. "I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth." So we read in Revelation. Yes, Peter denied our Lord and Savior Jesus three times. Peter failed. The fact that Peter would fail, Jesus stated plainly. And the reason that Peter failed, and failed so miserably, is because Peter did not know himself as our Lord and Savior knew Peter, as our Lord and Savior Jesus knows each and every one of us. Yes, we are born blind, dead, and enemies of God. So we are then baptized into the very Son of God, into Jesus, the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts. And what is more, along with the Holy Spirit, the Son and the Father, they come to us and they make their dwelling place within us so that we live then in union and communion and fellowship with God. Daily our sins being forgiven. Daily our consciences cleansed of guilt. Daily encouraged to rejoice and be glad, for the day in which we are living is the day which our Lord himself has made. But the old Adam doesn't go away. Doesn't go away. Yes, daily we seek to drown the old Adam within us so that it dies and no longer has any voice, any say, any authority in our heads, our hearts, our souls, but he torments us. He torments us, the old Adam, until we die. Know this. This is the reason we pray daily. Lead us not into temptation. Meaning that we pray that God would guard us and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, it's the old Adam, may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And although we're attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. So, the small catechism. What was Peter's false belief? Peter's false belief was that he, Peter, had in himself the courage, the strength, and stamina to always stand by his confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the case for us as well. If we believe that our confession of Christ is simply a matter of our will, a decision we have made, a commitment, some sort of inner strength that we possess that others do not admitting that such a confession on our part is a result of the Holy Spirit's work, and it's the Holy Spirit himself who calls us and gathers us and enlightens us and sanctifies us and keeps us with Jesus in the one true faith. If we think that somehow our belief in and confession of Christ is some sort of superior intellectual decision, a moral choice that we have made, we are doomed to failure. Doomed to abandon Christ when the Roman soldiers of life appear. Doomed to do exactly what Peter did, or in the case of the other disciples, doomed simply to run away from our Savior and run away from him as fast as we can. So what then do we do? Not commit? Remain lukewarm? Sit on the beach and never step into the ocean? My grandma did that. She liked to tell the story of how when she was a little girl, she waded into a lake on vacation once, and when the water rose above her ankles, she became so frightened that she never went swimming again. Ever. Her entire life. Now, even as a young child, when I heard that story, I thought it was ridiculous. I loved to swim. I still love to swim. What had my grandmother missed throughout her life by never, not even once, going swimming? Yes, it's dangerous. But while swimming, life is something else, isn't it? Whether floating on top of the water, or diving into the depths, or moving one way or another, life is different in the water. It's different than when we simply remain next to the pool. Now, the Holy Spirit would that we jump into the pool called the Christian faith, our confession of Christ, our life in Christ. It is a complete commitment on our part, like when we step off a diving board and we fall into the deep end. It begins with our being washed and regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit of God in our baptism into Christ. And it continues as the Holy Spirit, through the challenges of life, the crosses that we come to bear, which shape and mold us into something other than what we are, something better than what we are, something that we were in fact meant to be. And yes, we can fall and fail miserably like Peter. But Peter only failed because he actually wished to be the most zealous follower of Jesus Christ that he could possibly be. If I must die with you, I will not deny you. And actually, that is what eventually happened to Peter. Peter, so the legend, was martyred under the Roman Emperor Nero in AD 64 in Rome. History tells us Nero had wanted to buy some land to expand his palace, but the landowners around him wouldn't sell it to him. So Nero had a number of fires set to burn their houses down. And it was windy the night that that occurred. And so he burned down much of Rome. And the citizens of Rome were not happy with Nero, to say the least. So looking for a scapegoat, Nero blamed the Christians. And Peter, being in Rome at the time, was arrested and crucified. Peter was crucified not for anything he had done. Peter was crucified simply because he confessed Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, Peter even went so far as to insist that he be crucified upside down. And Peter insisted upon being so crucified so that he would not be crucified in the same way that Christ had been. Now, by the time Peter was crucified, he had had over 30 years to think about what he had done the night that Christ was arrested. How he had denied that he knew Christ 3 times. And being forgiven by Christ for what he had done, as we read at the end of the Gospel of John, Peter proclaimed Christ for the rest of his life. To this day, Peter is known for being one of the 3 pillars of the church, along with James and John. But Peter's also known, for his denial of Christ, his spectacular failure. But truly being committed to Christ, Peter did not quit. He did not run away, never to be seen from again. Peter did not spend his life railing against Christianity, railing against a way of life that could not be lived perfectly. Peter instead lived in the forgiveness bestowed upon him daily by our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's it. That's it. So it's rather messy, this Christian life. The life of total commitment to Christ with the sure and certain knowledge that failure is definitely an option. And it does occur. But also that when we do fail, God, who is faithful and just, forgives our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So it is true what Jesus said to Peter. Truly, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Not because Peter lacked conviction. Peter had conviction in spades, but Peter also was a sinner, just like you and just like me. Sinner in need of the forgiveness of the Savior he denied, and the forgiveness which he, from that same Savior, received. Just like you and just like me. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise.